From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The Arts District in downtown La Crosse will be filled with paintings, dancing, and music in mid-June at the first annual Artspire La Crosse. Organizers are already aiming high and hope the two-day street fair celebrating local arts will become an annual event. Here today to talk about Artspire La Crosse are a few of the organizers. First is Nancy Flottmeyer. She's the Artspire event planner. Toni Asher, she's executive director of the Pump House Regional Arts Center. And Lori Munson, she's a fiber artist who will be participating in Artspire. I'm wondering, either Nancy or Toni, can you talk about what the inspiration behind Artspire La Crosse is or was? Toni?
Sure. Artspire La Crosse started out as a discussion point at the City of La Crosse Arts Board. They wanted to do something that would draw attention to La Crosse as the arts destination it is. And this discussion went on, and they asked the Pump House if they would be an organizing, facilitating organization for Artspire. The City of La Crosse obtained a National Endowment for the Arts grant for a major placemaking mural, which happened to end up on the west wall of the Pump House. And as part of the grant application, it said that we would have a celebration when the mural was completed. So knowing we needed a celebration and also wanting to start an annual arts event in the city, it seemed opportune that this was the time to step forward and do that. So we began organizing, found an amazing event planner, and Artspire was born.
So we'll dive into the mural in a little bit here, but Nancy, can you talk about what people will expect at the Artspire event? It seems like this is much more than just your average run-of-the-mill art fair.
It really is. We're really packing it full for about a day and a half. So you're right, we're going to begin with a big mural unveiling Friday evening, and we're thrilled about that, followed with a lot of entertainment and a street dance, ultimately. And then on Saturday from 10 to 5, we'll have almost 28 artists displaying their work throughout downtown. There's about 50 participating downtown La Crosse businesses, and they'll have a variety of things such as demos in their store or special deals for Artspire. We have four stage areas that'll have almost 40 entertainment values, you know, visual, theater, performing, storytelling, too. So from 10 to 5, every hour on the hour, there's something going on throughout. And we encourage everyone to walk around, you know, start at the Pump House and then walk all over downtown. It's going to be a fun day.
And I guess we should tell people this is all taking place right around the Pump House, around the Weber Regional Arts Center, Piggy's Restaurant, right all in there.
Yep, we'll be blocking off the street from the Wine Guys down to the entrance of the Weber Center and then Front Street as well for our food vendors. And then the whole parking lot by the Pump House will be filled as well. So it'll be kind of busy down there. Lots to do. And then throughout downtown.
Toni? Yep.
The farmer's market has been moved down to Front Street. So that will extend up almost to where Artspire begins. So there really will be a lot of added excitement.
And Lori, you're going to be one of the many artists that will be featured there. I'm wondering if you can first talk about the art that you create.
For about the last 23 years, I've been dyeing silk and other natural fibers, and then designing clothing and scarves out of that particular fabric, and going to various art shows all over the Midwest. Not doing as many art shows in the recently, I've been working more with galleries, but I thought this was a great opportunity to do something in the La Crosse area because there's a lot of great artists, a lot of good creative people in and around La Crosse. And to be able to establish an event like this here and people not having to drive to Minneapolis and Milwaukee to experience that, I think is a great plus for everybody.
Do one of you want to add on to that? Toni?
We're just really excited to have an artist say that because we saw that too. We have incredible talent in our community, and there aren't a lot of opportunities like this for them. So we're really excited to make this an annual event.
So Lori, to be able to showcase your artwork at an event like an art fair or like Artspire, what does that do for you and when it comes to either exposure or obviously just when it comes to selling your product too?
Well, those are the two probably main things. And it's also nice to get feedback from people that are looking or experiencing your work. It helps you move forward and end up changing or coming up with new ideas just by getting feedback and also seeing other artwork around you. And it's just a great atmosphere, and it's always a real positive experience, not only for the people coming to see what's happening, but also for the artists that are there to be able to showcase their work and have it appreciated.
I can imagine that it gets tiring having to travel to lots and lots of different art fairs. So that would be one of the benefits of showing your work at a gallery. But at something like Artspire, you're able to interact with the people who are interested and appreciate your work.
And that's why I still do some art shows and not just strictly galleries, because, like I said earlier, the feedback is really helpful. And it's always great to have someone that has bought some of your work to come back and say, I wear this all the time, I get great compliments on it. To me, that means a lot, too, not just to sell my work, but to get those great, you know, comments from previous customers. And it's always just a great experience. You always learn so much, whether it's about your work or just the people in the community.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about Artspire La Crosse, a new two-day festival celebrating local art and culture this year on June 13th and 14th. My guests are Lori Munson, she's a fiber artist participating in Artspire, Tony Asher, she's executive director of the Pump House Regional Arts Center, and Nancy Flottmeyer, she's the Artspire event planner. So, Tony, you mentioned before that one of the reasons that this event was planned kind of circles around the unveiling of this mural. Can you remind people what it is?
Certainly. There is a large trompe l'oeil mural, and trompe l'oeil is fool the eye, and it's a painting technique which makes a flat surface look three-dimensional. You will think things are really there that aren't there. It's just a flat surface. And this was done in partnership between the Pump House and the City of La Crosse, doing a grant with the National Endowment for the Arts. And this project has ended up not only having federal funding, but we also received state funding, corporate funding, many personal donations, and business giving. So it's been an amazing partnership at all levels, from federal down to personal, which is very rare. And it all came together. The selected artist was John Pugh. John is an internationally known trompe l'oeil muralist. And we did first look within our own community and within the state of Wisconsin for an artist to do this work, but found that there wasn't one in our area. But we worked with John Pugh because he was willing to share his knowledge. He is not proprietary about his work. He was willing to teach community apprentices. So through a selection process with him, three apprentices were selected, and they went out to his studio in California and have been working on the mural for many months, actually. People might think, oh, how are you going to ever get it done in time? But it's actually been in process for many months.
And it's been quite incredible from the experiences I've heard from some of the artists involved in it, how much they've been able to learn.
It's been a life-changing experience, I think, for all the people that have been involved. So the mural will be a placemaking piece of national significance, and it will be a real key thing in our community. When people come to visit La Crosse, they'll be like, oh, did you see the mural? You have to go see it.
Do you think it will be a driver to that area itself? And, I mean, is it one of those things that you hope that people will come and see it and then maybe go to the Pump House or go to one of the businesses nearby?
Absolutely. And it will also showcase our arts district, which is growing now. As you mentioned, we have the Pump House and the Weber Center, and we have fine restaurants and many other art galleries in the area. So La Crosse is very much an arts town, but a lot of times we don't recognize it ourselves. So sometimes it takes people from outside to go like, wow, you really have it all.
And as far as the mural goes, it's supposed to reflect our region, if I'm not mistaken.
The artist, John Pugh, did come to La Crosse a couple of times, and he spent quite a bit of time here, and he met with many people in the community. And a point of the mural and of Artspire, too, is to involve all of the different cultures that we have in this community. So there are, of course, the Hmong community and Native Americans and African American and all the people that have all combined here to make us who we are today. So we've very much reached out with Artspire to incorporate those things in the celebration as well.
Nancy, did you want to add anything?
I'm just piggybacking on what Tony said. Yes, we're very excited to see the mural. You know, we've been told bits about it, but we're very excited to unveil it Friday by touching, like Tony said, on all the cultures, and we have touches of the Hmong community and the Ho-Chunk Nation and other things that we're doing to build up to the unveiling. But it's also going back way to when La Crosse began, and we're trying to touch on a bit of that historical thing, too. One of the things John has said to us is that it isn't necessarily a historical piece, but it's more of an aspirational looking forward piece of La Crosse. So we're touching on the history, but it's really who we are and what we're going to become.
This is obviously the first year of Artspire, and I imagine that it's quite the undertaking to develop an art fair, maybe to say the very least.
Yeah.
But how has it been coming along? And I know the goal is to make this an annual event. I guess time will tell once the event gets here if that'll be possible in the future. But Nancy, can you talk about that?
You know, it's been going really well. I came on board with another Planet Crystal in November. And for the first couple months, it was really understanding what the goal of this event is going to be. What is it? You know, we didn't want to call it a festival. I would say probably January is when we really hit it hard with branding, the name, the brainstorming, the identity, and everything. So considering what we've done in 4 months, we're all really impressed with the celebration that we're planning. Other people from town, other towns heard what we were doing in 4 months, and they said, you're kidding me, you're pulling this together in the amount of time. And I said, well, that's what we've been given. So we're really excited with how we can plan better for next year. But we're thrilled with the amount. I mean, the artists such as Lori coming on board, we're so excited. We know it's the first year, so all the participants are, many are kind of a wait and see, but for those we have on board, we're so grateful because it is the new time. It's scary sometimes, but for those coming down, we really wanted to make it a family-friendly event. It's free admission, and that's what we stress with all our sponsors. Look, we don't want anyone to have to buy a button. We don't want to have to pay to be here. We want everyone welcome to be able to walk around and see everything, and then by all means, save that money so they can purchase the artist's fantastic, you know, pieces that they have.
So why strive to make this an annual event? Tony?
We are very much an arts community, and I think to reach out and express that by having this visible, solid event is really important for the community. And again, drawing other people in from farther away, rather than our artists going to Minneapolis or our artists going to Madison and Chicago, our artists are here, and we want the people from Minneapolis and Chicago to come here. As part of the economic development piece, it's great to have to buy your friends' artwork and this and that, but we're circulating those same dollars. We also want to draw in from outside of our community and bring in more money and help us to grow and be a real good economic enhancement.
And Lori, from the art world's perspective, what kind of difference can it make for local artists to have some sort of, I mean, I know there are other art fairs that go on in the
Absolutely.
Area, but something like Artspire.
Well, in my opinion, I think it's just a great way to showcase this area. And like Tony said, what really is available as far as the arts, so many creative people. And the more you can educate people that they're here, you know, they're not, you know, 20 miles or 100 miles away. I think it's great to get a new event started that has so many activities going on that appeal to a wide range of people. And like we were saying before, there's so much to do downtown La Crosse. I mean, when you get done going through the show and maybe checking out a restaurant or a food vendor, you can walk down Riverside Park and enjoy that too. There's just so many great little venues around our area, and I think it's nice to be able to connect all the dots.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about Artspire La Crosse, a new two-day art festival celebrating local arts and culture. It's taking place June 13th and 14th. My guests today are Lori Munson. She's a fiber artist participating in Artspire. Nancy Flottmeyer, she's Artspire event planner. And Tony Asher is executive director of the Pump House Regional Arts Center. So as the four of us recognize, La Crosse does have a vast number of talented artists, musicians, painters, fiber artists, I mean, you name it. But sometimes you hear from artists in the community that the audience isn't necessarily there, or that audience participation could be a little stronger. I'm wondering if any of you want to talk about that and maybe how something like Artspire could bring more people into consuming the arts. Nancy?
We're working hard. We have, like we said, a lot of committees working on this. We have an interactive stage, which will kind of address a lot of that, a lot of interactive art activities, sign language, other things. We also have, we're going to have a demo tent where some of the artists will come in and they can demonstrate what they're doing and show everyone what they're doing. We have an on-site artist, Robert Minnie, actually was one of the community apprentices who went out to work with John Pugh. He'll be working with the educational group. There was a mural educational group working with kids. So there's an activity that'll be at 11 and at 1 and at 3, where they'll have an activity scene where the children can draw an object and learn kind of the process of that. So we want everyone when they come to, you know, get excited to see the art, but when they leave, we want them to have a whole new appreciation of art, whether they're at the, you know, the spoken word stage all day, or they're at the visual artist, or they're listening to music. So there's a lot of activity for them. We just don't want them to walk around and leave. I think they're going to walk around and they stay. You know, we start right away on Saturday with the dance. A new Applause Dance Academy is dancing, and we're hoping all those parents stay with their kids. So we're excited for the opportunity and really thought long and hard about including everyone, all ages, all types of art forms, so they get a good taste for it.
And I would imagine the mission of also having this free is it makes it more accessible to people who can't normally afford to maybe go to a performance at one of the theaters or pay a couple dollars to, you know, go to one of the other art fairs in town.
Our tagline is experience community through art, and we really thought long and hard about that. You know, what is Artspire? It's showcasing the community to everyone attending, and we want them to experience all the arts that La Crosse has to offer.
And another goal of this is to also incorporate all the different arts that are going on through the different cultures. How is it that you're incorporating all the different cultures that we see in La Crosse? Hmong, you know, white, Ho-Chunk, Mexican immigrants, mm-hmm. African Americans.
We were Friday night. We were going to have the Ho-Chunk dancers be part of that. We might be working. I would imagine. I believe Bill Miller is going to be part of our blessing with the mural as well. The challenge we came across is there's so much going on in those communities as well. I believe we have Hmong volunteers. We've been working with Tracy Littlejohn really closely with those cultures to get them as involved as we can too. So we're excited for what we were able to do this first year, and we're excited for the potential of more involvement next year.
It'd be interesting just to see kind of all the cultures coming together, because I don't think that's something that we've seen in La Crosse, at least in recent years. Tony?
Yeah, no, I agree. And it has been a concerted effort by many people to be sure that everyone feels welcome. And sometimes we need to really consider how much other people are different. Their culture is different. And maybe the way of asking or approaching needs to be geared a little bit differently so people really do feel wanted and welcomed. So it's been a really good learning experience. And I think we've crossed a lot of bridges and made a lot of progress with it.
But it's nice, too, because art is one of the few things that can really bring all cultures together.
Mm-hmm. Art and music,
yes. I think.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm.
Absolutely.
Lori, did you want to expand on that at all?
Not only is it a visual, like we were talking with the visual artists, but you have your musicians, your dancers, your actors, you know, getting children involved in the arts and having different cultures and all that diversity. It's like a creative explosion, you know. It's just such a positive thing, and everybody gets something out of it and walks away with a smile on their face.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about Artspire La Crosse, a two-day art festival celebrating local art and culture. It's taking place June 13th and 14th. My guests are Nancy Flottmeyer. She's an Artspire event planner. Tony Asher is executive director of the Pump House Regional Arts Center, and Lori Munson is a fiber artist participating in Artspire. I'm wondering if one of the focuses or purposes of this event, or hopes of the outcomes of this event, is to encourage people to experience the arts elsewhere in town, and not just necessarily that weekend, because we've talked about how you hope with this maybe people will walk around downtown, visit some of the stores, different restaurants and whatnot. But how do you get that enthusiasm to expand throughout the rest of the year.
One thing we're offering, too, is we are going to have an informational area where different organizations can present their materials. So it'd be a place to pick up the season brochure for all these different venues. Everyone is welcome to have those at the information station. And also just having an opportunity to see these different performers or the different artists, like for the first time, people might be, wow, I didn't know that I would really enjoy clogging, or I would really enjoy theater. And they're having, I really enjoy Shakespeare, you know. So just having an opportunity to catch snippets of all these different experiences might really spark their interest in something that they wouldn't have otherwise had.
ArtsFire really kind of kicks off the rest of the art activity throughout the community. And one of the things we were conscious of in the beginning in our promotional brochure is we wanted to reach out and also promote the other festivals and celebrations coming on. So we've been talking to the Driftless group, and we've been talking to the Winona group and kind of cross-promoting with them. And they were really excited that we're acknowledging the fact that it's just not the La Crosse area, it's the entire region we want to promote. And the Winona group especially was just thrilled that we reached out and said, hey, how can we work together on this? So we see ourselves as kicking off the whole art season, if you will, and throughout. And with the calendar events, it'll label everything coming up for the year, so that promotional piece will continue to promote the artist, but also promote what's going on in the calendar in, you know, July, August, September, October.
It'd be really neat to see what happens once those relationships are almost strengthened in different ways. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, we're excited about it. It's exciting that there's, you know, we're very fortunate. I know they've been thinking about having an art celebration for years, so we're thrilled that the mural is a great reason to kick it off. So, you know, we've already been talking, and next year we don't have the mural, so how are we going to kick it off with a bang next year? So we've been thinking already.
So at this point in time, all the artists and entertainers who are participating in ArtsFire have been signed up and whatnot, but you're
yes.
still looking for volunteers?
We'd love volunteers. So we have the email is volunteer@artsfirelacrosse.com. There is an informational meeting Wednesday, and we'll have others as well. But we'd love volunteers. And there's, you know, shifts as short as 2 hours, and come and work and then walk around and enjoy the arts.
Is there anything else you want to talk about in regards to the ArtsFire event? We can kind of go around the table here. But Nancy, do you have any final thoughts on ArtsFire or even just local regional artwork in the area?
You know, as the planner, it's been really exciting to see the energy with our committee and everyone who's working so hard on it. You know, we have such a diverse group of entertainers, such a diverse group of artists as well. And I think the team has really come together really well. So I'm excited for it. Look for the brochures in a couple weeks. And again, online, we'll have the ongoing list of everything. We'll have a walking map that everyone can use that day and walk around and see everything going on. But it's been a great journey, and we're all really excited to see the final outcome. You know, we can picture it in our heads, but until that day comes, we don't know what it'll be like.
Beautiful so. Sunny skies.
Yes, that's what we're all hoping for.
Tony?
Very excited to have the community just popping with art and have it really visible out on the streets and people enjoying it, walking through the downtown and participating businesses, having an artist painting outside their door and just all kinds of things like that going on. We're all so energized about it. We even have one volunteer who's concerned that we're going to have too many people. So we have that kind of enthusiasm and excitement about it, though. And I think that's just a great thing for the arts and for our community.
And Lori, any final thoughts?
I think, you know, the chance for La Crosse to have such a great event is pretty exciting. And there are a few other festivals that have been around for years. This is going to be very different from those, I think. It's always hard the first year to start a new event, but I think to just the possibility of it growing every year, I think it's going to grow into something very good, and we will draw people from other areas because they will hear about it as it grows.
Lori Munson is a fiber artist participating in ArtsFire. Tony Asher is executive director of the Pump House Regional Arts Center, and Nancy Flottmeyer is an ArtsFire La Crosse event planner. ArtsFire La Crosse is taking place downtown on June 13th and 14th. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll talk about Hear Hear, an upcoming oral history project that centers on downtown La Crosse. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Every day, thousands of personal histories are created in La Crosse. People take a risk and start a business. Couples fall in love, and historical buildings are torn down. As a way to document these stories, a UW-La Crosse professor has proposed the project Hear Hear. People walking around the downtown area will be able to call a phone number and listen to those stories from the places they occurred. Here today to talk about the Hear Hear project are Ariel Bougeau. She's a UW-La Crosse public historian and assistant professor of history and the director and producer of Hear Hear, and Mark Mankey. He works at UW-La Crosse's Murphy Library and is the art director and marketing coordinator for Hear Hear. Ariel, I'm wondering if you can just first talk about the inspiration behind the Hear Hear project. Why do we need this in La Crosse?
We need this because we have a lot of stories of La Crosse. We have stories of the founding of La Crosse by Nathan Myrick. We have the stories of the Hixsons. We have the stories of the lumber barons, and the stories of the major stores that used to be in downtown. But what we don't have is our stories, the everyday stories that people tell about their city, and that's what I'm trying to bring out with Hear Hear.
And that's interesting that you say that, because we have some really great walking tours that you can really dive in and you can really learn about the history of La Crosse. But as you say, it's more kind of the elite of La Crosse, and bringing out those stories about, you know, everyday folks is quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. There is work being done in that area, right? And at the oral history program at UWL does that work. So some of that will be brought into the Hear Hear project. So some of the oral histories of people who have passed or people who have just told stories about downtown will end up in the public as well. So that's kind of nice. It'll be available more than just at the library.
And Mark, what are your thoughts on just these everyday stories that need to come to the forefront more?
You know, we all hear, like you said, the stories of the founders, the famous La Crosse community members. But, you know, as someone who's grown up here, like all the stories I've been hearing that have come out of this project are, you know, just they're fascinating. They're different. They're never heard. And it's something to think like, okay, this really is actually happening in La Crosse, this kind of strange mixture, you know, and it's just really exciting.
And Ariel, you were inspired to start this project from a similar one that had been created in Toronto a while ago. I'm wondering if you can tell people about
that. Yeah, sure. This was a project called Murmur that started in Toronto, which is my hometown. I'm Canadian. it was started by a man named Sean McAuliffe about 11 years ago. It's since retired, but the structure is still there, right? So there's a sign in downtown. You pass that sign. There's a phone number on it. You call that phone number and you hear a story. And it's a first-person narrative, just somebody saying, you know, when I lived here, I experienced this.
I'm wondering if you can give some examples of maybe stories within Murmur that stick out to you.
Oh, Murmur stories. I love a story, and I want a story for Hear Hear that talks about falling in love on a certain bench. I love that one. What else? There's a series of stories about a very important music venue. That's a series, right? So it used to be just one story, and then people added to it and added to it, and that's something that we'll do for Hear Hear too. After you call the story, after you hear the story, you'll have the option to record your own story about that space or another space, and there will be a board of directors that will choose stories that we'll add as we go along with the project.
So yeah, I guess we should maybe lay out exactly what Hear Hear will do. There will be signs placed around different areas around the downtown area. And then, yeah, there'll be a phone number on there that you can call.
Yeah, the signs will indicate a story. And then there'll be a phone number. You call that phone number and you hear the story of that space. It'll say, you know, we're at 5th and Main and such and such a story, right? And then if you press pound, you can leave your own story.
And Mark, can you talk about your work involved in this project?
So with this project, we're talking about building this really big visual presence, you know, these signs that are going to be around and signal that the story's coming up. So we really wanted to focus on, you know, making signs that people are going to notice and be around and want to, you know, signal that there is this really great story here that you've never heard before. And part of my job is doing that and bringing that sign out and seeing what we can do.
Do you have any ideas for the signs yet, or is that still a work in progress?
We finalized the signs. We're working with a local sign company to get those done. We're focusing on this kind of mixture between, like, historical radio graphics, you know, some of those really old, lots of circles in them, you know, like mm-hmm. the old electrified sort of imagery, and but also bringing that idea of place. Because that's the huge thing about this, is that you're hearing these stories in place, and we're bringing in elements of maps and buildings and cartography a little bit to really signal that mixture between story and place.
We'll be unveiling that imagery at the ArtSpire event here in La Crosse.
Oh, neat. Mm-hmm. And along with the signs, there will also be an online presence as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You maybe have seen two or three of them or listened to a story out in the public and you want to hear the rest of them, because we are going to have event. When we launch the project, we're going to have 30 stories in the downtown area. People are going to be able to interact with that website and hear some of those stories they might not find. And then eventually, as the project grows, we're going to keep adding to that presence.
And you'll be creating a nice, beautiful map to accompany the website.
Mm-hmm. There'll also be, you know, print media. One thing that Murmur found was that, sure, it can be like Easter egg hunting, right? You're walking around and you see, oh my gosh, yeah, that's wonderful. Here's a story. But you could also do a more formalized tour, right? Mm-hmm. And so we'll have, Mark will create pamphlets, postcards that will indicate story spaces in case you're more interested in doing a formalized mm-hmm. tour rather than just happening upon a sign.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Hear Hear, an upcoming oral history project that will collect personal stories focused around different locations in La Crosse. My guests are Ariel Beaujeau. She's director and producer of Hear Hear, and she's a UW La Crosse public historian and assistant professor of history. And Mark Mankey, he works at UW La Crosse's Murphy Library and is the art director and marketing coordinator for Hear Hear. So, Ariel, what kind of stories are you looking for the Hear Hear project?
We've got a couple of stories on the go, and then I'd like Mark to tell a story that I want in the in the piece. Ha ha. Okay, so there's one that I love that's by Chris Callow, who's the woman who owns the coffee shop on Pearl Street. There used to be row houses on 6th and Main, and when she knew that those would be torn down, she did a protest. So she went to Kroner's and she grabbed a chain and she went down and she chained herself to the building in order to make a statement about its demolition, right? She didn't think that it should be torn down, and it has been. It was for kind of lower income, and now it's one of the highest income housing in La Crosse, right? It's these condos. So that will be a story. I love that story. And another story that's coming out of the oral history is a story by Gustav Winter, who was born in 1888. So he's long passed, but he, as a child, used to deliver packages to the women of the night on Pearl Street. Again, a Pearl Street mm-hmm. story. They used to buy things around downtown, and then it was his job to deliver the packages. So that speaks to, you know, this forgotten history of downtown actually having a red light district, and how the river was so important for entertainment mm-hmm. and for work, so that men would stop on the river and then come into town. And one of the things that was important, because they were so far away from their sweethearts and possibly wives, was that there would be a red light district in town.
And I think another really good thing about that story is it talks about this La Crosse resident who was, you know, a kid, his family was poor, and he was supporting them by doing this, by running errands for the brothels, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just...
I love his story. The other thing that's wonderful about that story to me is that just really casually in the story, he says... he talks about now, of course, we don't have brothels. Now prostitution's on the street. Mm. And I don't know how much of that there is currently in La Crosse, but he talks about, you know, it was safer for women in these spaces, and it's not as safe anymore. Police knew where to go to protect women, and now, because it's dispersed, that's not the case anymore.
Sure.
So he says that as an adult. It's an interesting observation of his because of his experience from the 19th century and or early 20th century mm-hmm. in La Crosse.
So, Mark, are you sharing one of your stories?
No. Like Ariel said before, she loves these stories about people, you know, falling in love. Mm-hmm. And my parents grew up here. They're going to hate me for telling this. But when my dad proposed to my mother, they went. He had told my mother that they were going downtown and they were going to go and buy a washer and dryer. You know, and so they drove down and walked, like started walking towards it. And instead he pulled up to the jewelry store, you know, and that was a story. And I remember telling Ariel this, and she's like, this is what I want. I want one of these stories. You know, people falling in love, people, you know, it's not this big thing. It's not this historical event. It's these stories that are very, you know, they can be sweet. They can be sad. They can be, you know, kind of grungy, kind of dirty, you know, things that you don't maybe want publicized, but also these things that people should really hear about a space, to hear that people are living in it and making histories and making stories for people.
So are you going to convince your parents to record their story?
I don't know if I can.
would you take someone like Mark, would you take a secondhand account of a story for this project?
That is not how we're going to run things. So there will be some exceptions to that, but in general, I want first-person narrative.
Okay.
That's how we're doing it. Mm-hmm. But there's some very important historical stories, right? So for something like that, you might have an anthropologist who has done a dig in La Crosse, downtown, and has some things to say about Native American history, right? Mm-hmm. Based on the dig that they did. So you might have something like that, but that will still be, in some ways, first-person narrative.
It won't be actors maybe reading newspaper accounts.
No, none of that. So it's not a historical placard on read out. Yeah, it's our own stories, our stories of La Crosse. Now, I think possibly some of the oral histories are a bit, some are better than others. So some of those, they're still first-person narratives, but we might have them read out if they're difficult to listen to or if they're too quiet.
Like if the quality is
important. Yeah, so in that case, there will be a couple exceptions, but in general, we want them to be first-person narrative.
So why is it important for all of us to remember these stories that, you know, maybe small in the grand scheme of things, but very significant to these individuals?
Mm-hmm. It's such a good question. I'm never good at answering this one. Do you have anything?
I think for me, it's about humanizing the space. It's about making downtown feel like people lived there, people had an effect, people were a part of this community. You know, we were saying before, we have these really great stories about these people who had big effects on the community and did all of this wonderful stuff, but we don't have the stories of the person maybe working the corner store or the person, you know, who delivers the mail. We want those stories of people who lived in a space, cared about a space, and, you know, have that attachment. You know, this is our community, and that's the story we want to tell. We want to tell people's stories and our stories.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Here, Here, an upcoming oral history project that will collect personal stories focused around different locations in La Crosse. My guests are Mark Mankey. He's the art director and marketing coordinator for Here, Here and works at UW-La Crosse's Murphy Library. And Ariel Bajot. She's director and producer of Here, Here and UW-La Crosse public historian and assistant professor of history. So where exactly does library research come into play? Because as you said, you want to find these personal narratives. Obviously, there are some oral histories in the library, but how will Murphy Library be working with this project?
Over the summer, we're going to, like you said, we have this large collection of oral histories that's been, you know, produced through UWL and been collected. And we have two researchers, Terry Taup and Sue Hessel, am I saying that right, who are going to be going through and finding that information. You know, this is a historical project, so we do have to have that kind of academic mm-hmm. side to it and make sure that we have these good stories that are linked to the place. And I think in the main reason the library's involved is to provide that resource, provide that kind of that archive. We're also working with the La Crosse Public Library as well to find stories. You know, these little pockets of resources mm-hmm. are kind of held in libraries and they don't get brought up unless you are a historian or someone working in these kind of academic traditions, you know, so bringing that out and showing the public would be great.
I had heard Chris Callow's story from somebody, but it turned out there was something in the Tribune about it, right? So I searched that out. It was finally, it was the people, Anita Doring at the Archives of the Public Library that found it for me and sent it to me, right? So that sort of background research will be important to be able to ask the questions to get the stories that we want. Also, I'm teaching a course. This is how it will be structured. So in September, from September until December, and then from January until May, I'll be teaching a set of courses where students and I will be putting together this project. And one thing that will be very important is that they get background research on whatever story they want to tell. So at ArtSpire, for example, we'll have forms for people to fill out if they like to tell a story. And then the students will take that and do some research, right? At Murphy, at the Public Library, at the archives of both, find out more about it so that they can structure a good oral history interview to get the story out that they want. The other trick about this is we'd like the stories to be recorded in space, right? So you will be standing at 6th and Main and doing that interview. And so you'll hear the cars that are going by and that sort of thing. And that way it's a bit guerrilla. and then it'll be uploaded. So that means that you'll hear your own sounds when you're in that space and the sounds from the recording. So you'll be in time and in this kind of pastime. I like that idea.
Do you have the spaces picked out, or will the spaces and where the signs go depend on the stories collected?
Definitely depend on the stories.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we won't put a sign where there's not a story. So we'll collect stories and then we'll put 30 signs up at the initial rollout.
Ariel, going back to, you mentioned the class that you'll be teaching this fall and also in the spring of 2015. And this is interesting because the class itself, it's not just UW La Crosse students. Community members can also take this class too. So can you talk about integrating both worlds in collecting stories and also just the academic element behind all of this?
Okay, so two questions. Integrating, I used to teach, I've taught many places, but one of the last place that I taught was in a location that had that didn't have a university for a long time. So my students were often my own age, and I'm 35 years old. So they were often my own age. So I'm used to working with people that are around my age and that I'm working on the same level with, rather than the system that's more often set up in an institution like this one, where the professors are older and the students are younger, and the students look up to the professors and ask them, well, how do I do this? How do I do this? When you integrate students that are younger and students that are from the community, what you'll have is a full integration, right? So the students that are older will know what sort of community foundations will need to get grants from, for example, and then the students from UWL can learn from that process, right? We together will learn how to write grants, for example, but there's that kind of foundation of knowledge that I can pair with our UWL students that are just learning this sort of stuff. And they'll learn what kind of depth of knowledge is needed for creating a project like this. So I think the community members are key here. And it will create a more democratic classroom rather than a classroom that's hierarchical and more typical.
And Mark, I imagine as someone who grew up here, being able to bring in that potentially historic knowledge, and, you know, a lot of the students that come to UW La Crosse, they're from all over Wisconsin, Minnesota, may not know much about the history of this city. You know, you're in your little UW La Crosse bubble.
I'm actually going to be taking the class in the fall.
Oh, nice.
So I'm really excited. For me, I come from an art background. You know, I'm a designer. So to learn these kind of different skills of storytelling, not so much like the visual side of it, to learn how to, you know, find these stories, research them really thoroughly, find that, you know, working with public organizations and granting in this like historical context is something that's really interesting to me. But also, like you said, pairing it with my personal history and my connections to this town. Like, I am very much like, I'm from La Crosse. I take great pride in being from the Cooley region, you know? And
yeah,
it's so going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how that like works, where, you know, if we have someone from Green Bay, or if we have someone from, you know, all these different towns around the state and in Minnesota and stuff, and how that's going to, what their devotion to this place is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Are there still seats available in the class?
Yes, there's still seats available. And we want more community members.
Yes.
Oh, and it's going to take place in downtown Main Street, Inc.
Oh, the class itself.
Yeah, it's going to, yeah. So in their boardroom, because then we're in the space that we're studying. We're also just two blocks from the public library where we'll do research.
The location?
Oh, right. And it's on Wednesday nights in the evening, so 5:30, starting at 5:30.
And if people do want to sign up who are not UW La Crosse students, do they contact?
Continuing Education and Extension.
At UWL, yes.
Okay.
And we've made it as affordable as possible. We've cut the tuition down by about half of what it regularly is because we really want community members involved.
And if you want if people want to take the spring class, the fall class is a prerequisite.
They need to take both. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they need to take both.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about Hear Hear, an upcoming oral history project that will collect personal stories focused around different locations in La Crosse. My guests are Ariel Beaujeau. She's director and producer of Hear Hear and a UW La Crosse public historian and assistant professor of history. And Mark Mankey. He works at UW La Crosse's Murphy Library and is art director and marketing coordinator for Hear Hear. So you mentioned grants before. Is a project like this, I mean, how do you get funding? How much money is needed? I know you had to work with the city in order to make this happen. So
Yeah. So I've applied for 5 grants. I think I've gotten 3 so far. The biggest one that I've applied for is the Wisconsin Humanities Council major grant. So that's what we're working towards first. I guess what I initially was working towards and then wrote a number of other ones. So there's that one. There's a community foundation grant for La Crosse. There was a provost grant that was a community foundation grant here at UWL. There was a history grant, a public history grant, and then a technology grant.
So it's all grant funded.
Yeah, it's all grant funded. Yeah, yeah, so far.
Yeah,
it's
so
grant
far.
Funded, yeah. And then as things come up, and we need more, we'll talk to community organizations possibly. But for now, if I get all these grants, it can run. For the first 18 months, it will run without needing more funding.
Do you hope that this expands over time? I know you're starting with 30 stories, 30 signs. I mean, do you have benchmarks as to how much it could grow each year?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, we'll roll out with 30, and then we have another 60 signs that will be ordered as part of the initial grant, I guess. Mm-hmm. So those will come out. I'm viewing this as a 5-year project, and then we can continue it on if we want to. So those 30 will be, spread out over the next 4 years after it launches.
Do you want to move into other neighborhoods beyond downtown?
Yeah, that was something we've been talking about, is where do we kind of determine where that's going to go? Do we do, South Side? Do we do North Side? Do we do Goosetown? Do we think about all those different neighborhoods? And it's been interesting. And I think where we find stories will end up dictating that. And Ariel might have more to say about that.
I would like to pair up with community organizations that would like to have here in different areas, right? So I won't always be teaching this class. There won't be enough students probably. So I would like to run it as a community effort with the executive council of here that Mark's on and various other people are on, to train people to continue the project on. So that's how it happened in Toronto. It was initially something done in quite a gritty neighborhood in Toronto. And then it was like, oh, it works. So the city started to hire them to the Murmur people to do different neighborhoods. So there's various different ways that it can be done, but I'm hoping that we can make a connection with community groups in order to continue it on in different areas.
And what about people who want to share their stories, that they think they have something great to share with the community? How do they get in contact with you all?
Well, we're going to, at ArtSpire, we'll have a form for people to fill out. Also at ArtSpire, we're launching our Facebook page. So we can get that information through the Facebook page. Or you could email me, abeaujeau@uwlax.edu.
And we can put a link up on our website.
Great. Yeah. So you can email me a story. And we'll have some statements about the sort of stories that we're looking for and what you know, because I want people to envision what it is that others will learn from their story about that space.
If people's stories don't necessarily take place in the downtown area, do you still want them to share it? So if it does expand in the future, or just stick to downtown at this point in time?
We're basically a year off of when we are launching this. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to stick to downtown for now. Mm-hmm. If people send me other stories, I will file them. but who knows when those other projects will come up.
Ariel Beaujeau is an assistant professor of history at UW-La Crosse and director and producer of the Hear Hear oral history class and project that starts next fall and will focus on the stories of downtown La Crosse. Mark Mankey is the art director and marketing coordinator for Hear Hear and works in UW-La Crosse's Murphy Library. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.